The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
Hey, I want to hear from you. Would you consider emailing me? You can reach me at greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org. And you can also make me one of your friends on Facebook and drop me a comment.
Some great encouragement coming your way today from Pastor Greg Laurie and a special guest, author Randy Alcorn.
Randy, let's tell them why they should have hope.
Our hope in this life is to be in Jesus, and we really will. This is not just a fairy tale. We really will live happily ever after. So when you're tempted to give up hope, just remember, He does care. He loves you. That's the basis for your hope.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
Most all of us wish our lives were smooth sailing. Like a sailboat out on a glistening lake, gentle breeze, bright sunshine, perfect temperature. In reality, it often feels like we're swirling around in a thunderstorm of problems and pressures, and our boat is taking on water. Well, today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie visits with author and Bible scholar Randy Alcorn. In this talk, they discuss the big issues of life, death, and the afterlife, and how to navigate the storms we face.
The theme of our talk today is heaven, happiness, and hope. It seems to me if we have a proper biblical understanding of what heaven is and all that's awaiting us there, we should be happy. So what are things that contribute to happiness, and what are things that deplete happiness?
Well, I think certainly the things that deplete happiness are the things that are in violation of the way God has designed the universe to operate. His best for our life, every time we violate us, it is sure to bring unhappiness. Every time we follow what God says, it brings happiness. When you have Psalm 1, which starts with those with the word blessed, which actually used to mean, you go to old English dictionaries, and the first meaning of blessed is happy. Happy are those who do not listen to the counsel of the wicked, but who delight in the law of God, in the word of God. So if you want happiness, go to God's counsel. Seek His thought. Seek His mind. But when you go to the world, and Greg and I were talking earlier about Twitter and what a nightmare it can be sometimes. There's some good things there, but, you know, there's a lot of just rudeness and hostility and pride and arrogance and critical spirit. If you're going there, if you're going to the political world to get your, if that's your source of where you spend your time, you are going to be a miserable person, and people are not going to be drawn to Christ through you. Go to God and His word and the delights and the pleasures of what it means to follow Him, and that'll bring happiness to your life.
Yeah, you know, I think of people just scrolling through their phones constantly, you know, and you're reading tweets or you're looking at social media or whatever, you're reading news feeds, and there's so many things that can bring you down. It's like, don't look down so much, look up. You know, look up to God, look up to the imminent return of Jesus, look to the Word of God, and look to the needs of others, because what did Jesus say? It's more blessed to give than it is to receive.
Exactly. And that word blessed there is that word Makarios, which means it is more happy making to give than to receive. So don't wait to think, oh, well, if I become happy about it someday, I'll start giving. No. Do the giving, and that will make you happy. Do the action that accords with happiness, and then you will become happy.
Very good. Do your giving while you're living, then you're knowing where it's going.
Exactly.
And, you know, there is a joy in giving. There really is. And I think we miss out on it. And so as we think about this subject, I don't know why, but there's a discomfort among Christians when you address the topic of money and giving. I think everyone sort of clutches their wallet, or, you know, you fasten your purse, or they're going to receive an offering now. And why are we so reluctant in this area? Why is there discomfort? I mean, you can talk about heaven, awesome. You can talk about the promises of God, fantastic. You can talk about the imminent return of Jesus, I love it. You talk about money, and the Bible talks about it so much, and now all of a sudden I'm like, I'm uncomfortable. I don't want to hear about this. Why is that? I don't get it.
Well, I think we have turned to money to fulfill our deepest needs, and it doesn't do that. Now, it's a blessing of God, and we do need money to live on provide food for our families and all of that. So it's not a bad thing in and of itself, but when we make it our God, the rich fool, you think about this in Luke 12.
Yeah.
And here's this man who's successful. And so what does he do? He builds bigger barns just to store up all these things for himself. And then God says, you fool, this night your life is required of you. Mm-hmm. And you have been rich toward yourself, but you have not been rich toward God, and judgment falls upon him. But this reminds me of 1 Timothy chapter 6, which if you turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy 6,
Let's turn there. 1 Timothy 6.
That would be great. This passage has a lot of great stuff in it. But in verses 9 and 10 of 1 Timothy 6, you have the bad news about wealth. And here it is. But those who desire to be rich, and at first you go, those who desire to be rich, well, wait a minute. Everybody desires to be rich, right? I mean, whether you're a poor person or whether you're already a rich person, you just want to get richer. It's kind of this natural human thing. Well, here's what falls upon those who desire to be rich. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare. I'm counting on my fingers here into many senseless, harmful desires that plunge people. And that word for plunge is a word that's often translated drown, that drown people in ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils, not money itself, but the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils, and it is through this craving that some have wandered from the faith, and they have pierced themselves with many griefs. We're onto a third hand now. There's about 14 negative statements about desiring to be rich, and you go, wow, we're all in trouble. We're all in trouble. And you could think it's like James 5, where God can be pretty hard on rich people. He says, woe to you who are rich and weep and howl for the miseries that are going to come upon you. You go, wow, that is pretty depressing. But then skip forward just about seven verses in 1 Timothy 6 to verse 17. As for the rich in this present age, and by the way, he's talking to all of us. Go to globalrichlist.com, put in your annual income, and find out how rich you are. I just put in the other day $25,000, which is considered U.S. poverty level for a family of four, for an income of $25,000. And guess where it puts you in terms of world wealth? It puts you in the top 2% of the wealthy people of the world. Yeah, it's pretty shocking. You put yours in there and you are going to be way more likely in the 99th percentile, which happens to be the highest percentile, and you're sharing it with Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, right? It's just that they're in the 99.99, you know, and you're maybe in the 99.3 or whatever you might be, but you'll be shocked at where you come out. So this is to all of us. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not, command them not to be prideful or not to be haughty, one translation says, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. Where do you put your hope? Hope is part of what we're talking about today. You put your hope in God, who is unchanging. You don't put your hope in riches which are here today and gone tomorrow. Either you will be taken away from your riches or your riches will be taken away from you. One way or the other, you do not have an eternal relationship with your present wealth. But Jesus said you can take it and store it up for yourselves in heaven. And that's where Paul is going to go. He says, put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy, which is so kind of God to say that. Because right when you think, wow, wealth is terrible and you should never even enjoy it. And he's given it to us for us to enjoy, but he's given it to us for much larger reasons as well.
Pastor Greg Laurie and author Randy Alcorn will have the second half of today's presentation in just a moment.
Hearing about listeners who find Christ because of Pastor Greg's ministry is so encouraging. Like this story.
Thank you, Pastor Greg. Years ago, I had a spiritual awakening. Along with listening to you on the radio, I also watch you on YouTube. Through your clear teaching, I came to understand the gospel and put my faith in Christ instead of religion. I left the Amish religion, and I couldn't be happier as a believer, knowing I have that peace inside and assurance of salvation. Blessings to you and your family from Ohio.
We're so grateful to hear of the changed lives through Pastor Greg's online presence and this radio program. If you have a story to tell about how these studies have touched your life, I hope you'll contact us today. You can email Pastor Greg at greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org.
Well, we're talking today about the resources God has put in our charge. Pastor Greg and author Randy Alcorn are offering practical counsel from Scripture today.
What are we to do with what God has entrusted to us? Here's what the rich are to do. The rich are, verse 18, to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and eager or ready to share. One translation says willing to share, but I don't like that. It's more than willing. It's eager. It's ready. It's just jump in there. I want to jump in and help people. Those are four different expressions that are all about giving. And this is God's call and command to the rich. And it's the only solution to the problem of wealth. Because that verses 9 and 10 warn us about. And then he says in verse 19, when you do this giving, thus storing up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, for the future that's after death. Well, that's just like Jesus said, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven in Matthew 6. But then he doesn't end there. It's not just that our eternal future will be better and we'll enjoy the benefits of it. And it's not just that we'll be helping people and wonderful that we're loving our neighbor as ourselves and doing that great thing. But then he says, so that they, who? The rich who give. That's the key. The givers, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Not the false life. Not the money's going to make you happy. It doesn't buy happiness. And even secular people, when they're honest, acknowledge that. But it's present tense. So we got our future that's going to be better in reward in heaven for all eternity. We've got the present and the future of other people who are the recipients of our gifts. And that's a wonderful thing. But it's so that we in the present may take hold now of the life that is truly life. It's not just that giving people will one day be happier when we're with Jesus. It's that giving people will be happier today because we are honoring Jesus and we are obeying Jesus and we are doing what we were made to do to become like Jesus himself in terms of being givers.
That's fantastic. Now let's think about, it gets all quiet. Still talking about money. Move on quickly. Okay, so our theme is heaven, happiness, and hope. And we're living in a culture right now where a lot of people have lost hope. Of course, Generation Z has been described by some experts as the hopeless generation. And your heart just goes out to folks who've lost hope. You know, one person wrote, man can live 40 days without food, 3 days without water, 6 minutes without air, but only 1 second without hope. Randy, as we close today, let's talk to a person who maybe has lost hope. Maybe something bad has just happened to them, really bad. They've got the worst news imaginable from a doctor. Or maybe an accident. They've lost a loved one. Or maybe they just feel like life isn't worth living anymore. You know, they're thinking, no one loves me. Nobody cares about me. I don't matter to anybody. I should just take my own life even. Address a hopeless person and tell them why they should have hope.
You know, my mind, Greg, goes to Titus 2, verse 13, where it says that we are waiting for our blessed hope, and that's that word makarios again, and the proper literal translation is waiting for our happy hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is what I would say to the person who is suffering from that hopelessness, is to say, God has given us this happy hope, and it's not just a wishful thinking hope. It's built on the blood-bought promises of Jesus Christ that he is going to make all things better. He's going to wipe away the tears from every eye for all who believe and trust in him. Now, if your hope is in yourself, your hope is in the economy and the stock market and your retirement plan, and your hope is always being healthy or wealthy or whatever, those things are not a solid or firm foundation for hope. Jesus Christ is the source of hope. So for the person without hope, just ground your hope in the proper place. See, our hope in this life is to be in Jesus, and the firm hope, the firm basis for our hope is the promise of Jesus that he is going to wipe away the tears from every eye. We really will. This is not just a fairy tale. We really will live happily ever after. So when you're tempted to give up hope, just remember, there's every reason to hope. God understands. If you wonder sometimes, does God really love me? Because if he really loved me, why would he let me go through all this? No, nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. And I think when we stand before the Lord, We'll ask ourselves, we'll look at the scars in his hands and we'll ask ourselves, how could I have ever doubted whether he loved me and whether he cared? Look, do these look like the hands of a God who does not care? No, he does care. He loves you. That's the basis for your hope.
Amen. So, God loves you. God cares about you. He has a plan for your life. Ultimately, that plan is for you to join him in heaven for all eternity. And then one day heaven will come to earth and we'll live in the new earth. You'll be reunited with loved ones who've preceded you to heaven, who died in faith. And thus you can have happiness, not from things, not from experiences, but from a relationship with God himself. And because of this, you can have hope. Life without Jesus is a hopeless end. Life with Jesus is endless hope. And we're going to close now in prayer, and I'm going to lead someone in prayer who would like Jesus to come into their life and forgive them of their sin. So maybe today you find yourself an unhappy person. Maybe today you find yourself a frightened person because of the future, and just thoughts of death freak you out. Or maybe you find yourself completely hopeless. You need Jesus, and you need him in your life, and you need him right now. And he stands at the door of your life and he knocks and he says, if you'll hear his voice and open the door, he will come in. So I'd like to lead you in a simple prayer where you can ask Jesus to come in to your life and forgive you of your sin and give you the hope and give you the happiness and give you the purpose you want in life. So as we pray, you pray this after me if you want Christ to come into your life. Let's all bow our heads. Father, thank you for this time of looking into your word. And now I pray for any person that is here with us or is watching or listening, wherever they may be, if they don't know Jesus yet, Lord, let this be the moment they believe and put their faith in him. And listen, today, if you want Christ to come into your life, if you want him to forgive you of your sin, you could just pray this simple prayer after me. Just pray this after me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but I know you're the Savior who died on the cross for my sin. I turn from my sin now, and I choose to follow you from this moment forward as my Savior and Lord, as my God and friend. Thank you for hearing this prayer and answering it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important prayer with those who've just given their hearts to Jesus Christ. And if you've prayed that prayer today here on New Beginning, we want to offer you some help. We'd like to send you what we call our New Believer's Growth Packet. It'll answer the questions you may have and get you started in this new pathway of faith. We'll send it free of charge if you prayed for the first time today with Pastor Greg. So write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514, or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org and click the words Know God. Well, Pastor Greg, we're making available your newly re-released New Believer's Bible.
That's right.
Now, this may seem like a no-brainer question, but I'm just wondering how you'd answer it. It gets us back to the basics.
Okay.
When we first come to Christ, how important is it that we spend time reading the Bible?
Well, let me ask a question in response that will give an answer. If you're going to build a house, how important is it for you to lay the foundation properly? Well, you'll have the answer to that quickly, because if you build a poor foundation, you're going to have trouble later. And the same is true in our spiritual life. You need a good foundation spiritually. You know, when you're building a house, maybe it's more exciting to choose the color of the paint for the exterior or the wallpaper or fixtures for the interior, but those are secondary. You need a proper foundation. You need your electrical done right, your plumbing done right, etc. And the same way in the spiritual life, we need to know the basics. We need to know the foundational truths of the Bible, because you build upon those in life, and you come back and revisit them over and over again, especially when hardship comes your way. This is the foundation you're built upon. This is the soil you're rooted in. And so I've written notes, hundreds of them actually, for a project called the New Believer's Bible that has just been released from Tyndale Publishing. I've been working on this for years. And there was another edition of this in days gone by with the same title, and over 10 million people got a copy of it. And so I've been talking with the folks over at Tyndale House Publishing, and they publish a lot of great Bibles and books and other things. And we started talking about revisiting this project and refreshing it and rebooting it and bringing it to a new generation. So it's finally done with a super cool cover, I might add. I love the design of it, but more importantly, I love what's in it. It's the New Living Translation, along with these notes that I've written to help you build a good foundation as a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, honestly, Dave, I'd encourage people to get a few copies of it and keep them with you, because you never know when you might get that opportunity to lead someone to Christ, and this would be the perfect thing to put in your hands. And also, you might just talk to someone that just needs some help. They've never been able to really read through the Bible. It perplexes them. It overwhelms them. Well, this is sort of like I'm taking them by the hand, and I'm leading them through the Bible in a very friendly, conversational way. So we're encouraging our listeners to order their own copy of the just released, drum roll please, New Believer's Bible.
Yeah, and we're excited to send this your way. It's our thank you gift for those who appreciate the insights they gain here each day on A New Beginning and can support this outreach with an investment right now. In fact, if you request this new Bible right away, we'll include our resource called Start to Follow. It deals with so many helpful topics, including the 7 things every believer needs to know. What great information for new believers. And we'll send you both of these new resources to thank you for your gift of any size. So get in touch right away and mention the New Believer's Bible. Write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. And by the way, if you're interested in multiple copies, make sure you reach us by phone so we can help you with those details. Again, dial 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org.
You know, sometimes the bottom drops out of our lives. We don't see it coming, and we're left reeling, wondering what to do. So many questions, so few answers. Well, next time, Pastor Greg addresses those life-altering crises head-on with important insight from God's Word and from his own experience. Be sure to join us here on A New Beginning. And then before we go, Pastor Greg, I know there's something you wanted to add.
That's right, Dave. We've launched something we're very excited about here at Harvest Ministries. It's called Harvest Church Online. Basically, it's an intimate church experience that you can be a part of no matter where you are in the world every Sunday morning. You know, I recently read that 82% of the unchurched are likely to attend church if a friend, coworker, neighbor, or family member would invite them. There's just tons of people that want to go to church, and I hope you invite people to your church, and I hope you have a church. But here's the thought. Why not bring church to them? You could send a text or an email with a link. You could post it on social media like Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and just say, hey, join me now at this live link for Harvest Church Online. So you could be in one part of the country. Your friend could be in the other part of the country. You could experience this worship service together and talk about it later. Also, we have a really cool live chat feature. So as you're watching the service, you can talk to other people around the nation, around the world. You can bring prayer requests there. You can share your thoughts on what's being said or what's being done in the service. It's really a very interactive thing. As I mentioned, it's intimate. So if you want to dig deeper in your spiritual life, join us for Harvest Church Online. Just go to harvest.org for more information.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.